We see here once again, actually we have two apparitions of our Lord presented to us here in today's Gospel. One that occurred on the night of his resurrection, after his resurrection from the dead, to his apostles, except for Thomas, who was not there. And we must not think that this was all by chance. This was all arranged, as it were, by divine providence as an aid to our faith, let alone that of particularly of St. Thomas. Now, in the first apparition, Thomas was not there, but our Lord appeared to them. And you can imagine how the reaction of the apostles when behind closed barred doors, our Lord suddenly appears to them and says, "Peace be with you." We read it according to the other evangelists, particularly St. Mark. We see they were actually incredulous. They were amazed. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. And we would be terrified too, I think, if he would appear to us in that fashion. And our Lord actually ate before them and said, "Here, feel my hands." And notice he does that again with Thomas. "Feel my hands. Place your hand in my side." He is bodily there present. It's not just a simple apparition. He is there, bodily present before them. Proof that he has truly risen from the dead. His soul was reunited with his body. This body was risen from the dead, which he, of course, did all under his own power. And thus he could appear to them in this fashion. And then the next step, he gives them, says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Breathes on them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He institutes the sacrament of penance, the great sacrament of his mercy. Not coincidental, the fact that we celebrate today the Divine Mercy Sunday. He gives us the way and the means to obtain that mercy, the sacrament of penance. We'll come back to that in a few moments. Now, we see that happy fault, as it were, not the one sung of with the Preconium on the Easter Vigil. That was the fault of Adam and Eve, which provided for us our redemption. Here, though, another happy fault, that of the unbelief of St. Thomas. You can imagine now, the apostles are overwhelmed with joy because they've seen our Lord. He's come back. He's risen from the dead. And they go running to Thomas. They find him. "Thomas, he's alive. He is risen from the dead. We have seen the Lord." And he says, "No. Unless I see the marks in his hands and side, unless I see him myself personally, I won't believe." He refuses to believe. Now it's 1 week later. And in the very same way, now they're all gathered together. Thomas is with them in that upper room. And our Lord appears again in the same way. He comes in. Once again, through the barred, locked doors. And with the same phrase, "Peace be with you." He always brings with him peace, the peace he alone can give. And he says, "Peace be with you," then to Thomas right away. "Here, come, place your hands and see my hands and my feet. Place your hands, touch my hands, feel the marks. Place your hand in my side." Again, proving. Now this time to St. Thomas, it is truly himself risen from the dead. Do not persist in being unbelieving. Believe. And then we get the great testimony of faith of St. Thomas, which we have now down to our own age. And a great blessing from our Lord. Thomas first proclaims, "My Lord and my God. My Lord, whom I see right here in front of me, and my God, whom I cannot see." He makes that full profession of faith. Here is our Lord himself, bodily present before them, who is also God. There it is. There is how it is. He has that power to do what he did. There he is. Now Thomas believes. But now note what our Lord says. "You have believed because you have seen me. Blessed are they who have not seen, but who have believed." That, my dear brothers and sisters, is all of us. We have not seen our Lord bodily as they did. We have him present with us always in the Blessed Sacrament, in the Eucharist, but we have not seen him the way they did, the way they could witness that he is truly risen from the dead. But yet, because of that testimony, and we have it here recorded in the Gospels, right here from St. John, we believe. And our Lord tells us, we are blessed for that. But let us go on believing always. Never give that up. And never be afraid to live that faith we profess, to live what we believe. Never be afraid to make those signs which go along with our faith, such as the sign of the cross, saying grace before meals. Every time we do those things, we live, every time we live a virtuous, holy life, and people see that, we are evangelizing. We are witnessing. And who knows who might, just because they, someone who sees that, and I've known it to happen, sees some sign like that. You had the courage to make the sign of the cross in public, could convert that person. And I repeat, I've known it to happen. It did happen to a woman who converted to the faith, was a good friend of the family, when she saw my brother make the sign of the cross and say his grace before one breakfast one day in a restaurant. And it led to her conversion. So by those little signs, we are witnessing. That's exactly what we are called to do. In fact, our Lord here says, when he appeared the first time to the disciples on that night of his resurrection, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And he will say it again when he ascends into heaven, go out and make disciples of all nations. We are called to witness, every one of us, and that's how we do it. Just in the daily, ordinary things, by living our faith, we witness to others. And how easily then we can be, even if we don't know it, we don't see the fruits, that's perfectly all right. But we can be instruments of someone else's conversion and bring new souls into the one true faith. And here we have, here we are, our Lord tells us, when we believe and we live what we believe, we are blessed. Now, in return, we might think to ourselves, well, wait a minute, but I'm so weak. I fall easily. I'm not worthy. But that's why we have God's mercy, and he seeks to bestow that upon us. And he has given us, as we've seen already in this gospel passage, the great sacrament of penance. That's the sacrament of his mercy, where we can come and receive that mercy. If we truly, sincerely repent of our sins, confess them, and receive the absolution, we receive his mercy. Those sins are gone. So much so that when our Lord on one occasion appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, she wanted to test him a little bit. He said, Lord, recalling her last confession, can you tell me what sins I confessed? He said, I forget. Those sins are absolved. They're gone. They are forgotten. If he forgets them, you can be sure we need not recall them ever again. They're gone. See what great mercy God bestows on. He's waiting to bestow on us. That's why we celebrate this day, Divine Mercy, right? Officially instituted by one who was just canonized a saint just a few hours ago, St. John Paul II, along with St. John 23rd. But in any case, instituted precisely to bring to us that recognition of his mercy, which he waits to bestow upon all of us. And we can gain that mercy. It's a particular mercy we gain today if we will confess our sins, and I believe that's within 8 days before or after today, receive Holy Communion today worthily, and I believe there's some specific prayers to say, or some act of charity, and reverence an image of the Divine Mercy, then we can receive that indulgence that's granted particularly today for Divine Mercy. But let us not hesitate to make, even continually throughout our lives, use of that instrument that God has given us, our Lord has given us, of his mercy, that of the sacrament of penance, so that we can also worthily receive him within ourselves in that intimate union with him called the Eucharist, in the Blessed Sacrament, and not hesitate to come to adore him even every day, and pour out our needs before him, and allow him to lead us and guide us, where he surely will, to our own salvation, our own union with him in paradise. Praise be Jesus and Mary.